from Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Leftovers with Jay and Jeff, a podcast dedicated to HBO's The Leftovers. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome to The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm sorry, Lori. Or I also was going to go with drum solo. It's like, oh my
like
God.
Birdman. Remember Birdman, the Michael Keaton movie with the drum music?
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
You still haven't seen Birdman with Michael
no,
Keaton?
No, it's on my list of shows to watch.
I could have sworn you watched it and you thought it was weird.
No, I never watched it.
Oh. Well, it's also on HBO now, I think.
I know. I've got it on there, but every time I go on, I go, oh, I got to catch up. I forgot I had to catch up on Arrow, so I got a lot of commitments. I've cut a lot of fat out. I've cut a lot of shows to the curb. Just kicked them to the curb. I mean, kicked them to the curb. I'm sorry. I just did a long podcast. So I'm kicking them into the curb. And so I should have time to watch it eventually, but I'm busy. I'm a busy man.
Busy guy.
I got things to do.
Yes. Well, we had a new episode of The Leftovers. Apologize, everybody, on the delay on really recording and releasing this episode. I've been traveling for work this week, so I do apologize.
Yeah, you're visiting Jack Daniel's factory tomorrow?
Yeah, the distillery in
Distillery,
Lynchburg.
So, yeah, you're busy working there. So
Tennessee. Well, it's we did work, and now it's the team building thing.
Team building.
Yeah.
How many shots did it take to build the team?
Well, the thing about the Jack Daniels, you know, place, it's a dry county and it's been since Prohibition. So I don't think you can actually drink there. I don't know, but we'll see. So at least I'll see how it's made.
It's a dry county, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
So.
It's just unusual that it'd be a dry county there.
It's like a checks and balances thing.
I guess so. I guess that makes sense. You can make it, but you can't drink it.
So I really don't know what to expect. So we'll see.
So they'll show you the bottles, but you'll have to drink the.
Well,
water
they do
instead.
A tasting there too, but it must just be like how much they can give or something like that. I really don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I'm sure it'll be fun.
I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it will be.
Don't fall in one of the bucket barrels, because you may not want to be saved for a while. Oh.
I feel like falling in like a whiskey barrel would be an uncomfortable experience.
I don't know. Just unlike the cartoons, don't they get excited when they fall in, like the drunk guy falls
in
whiskey?
Yeah, it's
all excited.
You have the whole pink elephants thing.
Yeah, there you go.
But I don't.
That one always freaked me out.
But see, that's where just it wouldn't, I don't know, it's something that wouldn't translate in real life, I think. But that's
You're kind of breaking up a little bit there, but now I can hear you.
Okay, I apologize. If there's anything...
I thought maybe you fell into the barrel already.
Well, I am on hotel Wi-Fi, so I do apologize for any sound issues or anything like that.
They don't have Google,
Fiber in the hotel?
You don't have Google Fiber yet?
Not in this hotel, Indigo, but it's a great view. It's a shame we aren't doing this on Google Hangout because I'm on the 14th floor in like this penthouse room, so I got this whole.
Oh, so you don't have the beat up staircase?
No, it's a very nice, posh place that overlooks the downtown. So I got a great view.
The downtown, and it's nice downtown.
Yeah, it's like it's one big like the there's it's not the whole thing. It's not like New York or something, but. They have the street called Broadway. That's where all the honky-tonks are. That's where you go and to the bars and you see the bands and
does
all
every,
that stuff.
Does every downtown have a Broadway?
I think most.
I think you have to. I think it's in the Constitution.
Well, I think it's the same Broadway as in New York, just that's where it goes through.
It's just one long Broadway?
No, I'm making that up. But there is a Broadway that does go up through a lot. It's an old Indian trail is what Broadway is today.
Oh, okay. All right.
Little known fact. Little
where's
known
the
fact.
State? Where do the Titans play?
So they're across the river. So you can. So Broadway, that street that everything's on. If you go,
They have hotels around the stadium.
Close enough to like I'm where the hotel I'm at now. I could still walk to the stadium. It'd probably be a mile and a half walk. It wouldn't be that bad. But
that's
there's hotels closer.
Because I'm all about staying downtown.
So like on one end of that Broadway street is the Bridgestone Arena where the Predators play, and then on the other side
is that where they make the tires?
No, it's just there's a hockey team there that I don't think anybody cares about. And then
no, I know, but
the other side,
Bridgestone is it named after the tire company?
Yeah, they don't make tires there.
Well, that's what I was saying. It was, kind of a joke, but you did say anyway.
Crappy joke. So then on the other side,
well, it is if you don't play along
of that road, Broadway. There's a river, and then on the other side of the river is the stadium. You can see it right there.
All right.
It's an okay looking stadium. It's kind of boring, honestly. It kind of looks like a college stadium. It's not that.
But is it better than the Qualcomm Stadium?
I guess just in that it's newer, but it doesn't look.
Does it smell like pee?
I just looked at it from afar. I didn't go inside the stadium, so I can't judge whether or not it smells like urine.
I told a funny story on the Sports Talk show. We're in Target, and we're kind of making people wait because they had a problem with one of their things. Anyway, so I had my Charger sweatshirt, Charger hat on. This lady behind, she was making face like, oh, my God, these people are taking forever, because I had to run back take a photo of something that they had the price wrong. And I proved I was right. And then she saw my Charger stuff. She goes, oh, are you Philip River fans? I go, and your mom goes, oh no, we're from San Diego. We're Philip River fans. We're also Charger fans. We need to fire that offensive coordinator. So she's going on and on and on, and then she goes, I've always wanted to go to a game there. I go, oh, it's a terrible stadium. And her face was like, oh, it looks so nice on TV.
I get to crush her dreams.
I got to be honest with people. I go, she goes, at least they're not talking about moving. I'd hate to have to buy all the, new LA stuff. I go, no, they're still talking about moving. So I think it went from a high to a low.
Wow, you just crushed everything in her happiness.
Well, I was just being honest.
But we're kind of rambling on here. Let's get to the good stuff, because I thought this was a fantastic episode of The Leftovers.
They haven't had a dog yet.
Yeah, exactly. And before we get that, just like all of our podcasts.
You know why?
Why?
Because they're quarantined.
Oh. Your jokes are bad. Like, I don't know if it's just maybe...
Hey, why don't you just be like the Virginia Slims? I tell a joke and you give no response. That would be better than you going, oh, these are terrible.
This is like, I don't know. I feel
terrible.
I feel like some of your humor got lost in the departure. So, like, all of our podcasts now are free for everybody. That's made possible by you, the listener, over at patreon.com, patreon.com. /Jay and Jack. We have had a great launch to our Patreon page with a lot of patrons already. I mean, we're well into, I think we had 82 the last time I checked.
We're still at
82, which is fantastic. We're in kind of the mid 600s, which is great. So we'll keep on cruising at $1,000. A month, we are going to do a special live Married Man show, which when you think about it, there's nothing better than Dale live. And then at $2,000...
You say that, but I've recorded with him, and I don't see it anything special.
We're trying to sell this here. Like, what?
Again, it's a whole... about the San Diego Stadium. I got to be honest with people. Well, I can't lie.
Well, yeah, but that makes you a horrible salesman. You don't have to lie. It's everything has a positive and negative. Just talk about the positive.
There's nothing better than sitting across from Dell while you're podcasting.
See?
Watching him live, to have the privilege to watch him live, oh my gosh. Once you've done that, you can die happy.
All right. Well, let's get going here before we ramble on anymore. Let's get into this episode of The Leftovers. All right, so this episode is titled Off Ramp, and this one focuses on Lori and Tommy. So it seems like the first three episodes, first one focused on John's family, and then the next one focused on the new Garvey family, and this one focused on Lori and Tommy Garvey, what's going on with them.
It's character building.
Yes, so we had a cold opening with Lori washing her car with some jazz music drum solo. And it was kind of a cool placing there where we didn't really know what the whole thing about washing her car was about.
I didn't know she had a car.
Yeah. So then we go to Tom, who's a guilty remnant. He pays attention to the suffering girl. Lori has nicotine gum and is setting up a cot. So he whispers to the girl, come with me. And he takes her to a guilty remnant support group led by Lori.
Now, did you think at first? Do you think at first that she was there was some kind of con going on? That they were trying to get extort money from these people?
No, I didn't get that at all.
That was my first thought. I go, are they trying to make money on these people? Are they trying? Are they trying to survive? What's going on here? I honestly didn't know what was going on. Why would you think they would want to con them? Do what?
Why would you think that they would want to con them?
They're making money off them.
I guess I just don't see why she would go from being part of this, you know, cult to then wanting to like scam the people in the cult.
Hey, I don't know Lori. I don't know her backstory. Like I don't know her deal. She went a whole year without speaking. I don't know what she's capable of doing.
It's this negative streak in you. I don't know. I don't know if it.
And Tommy, I don't know what he's doing. He gives babies away. He's, you know.
That's why I think you need a hug from Holy Tommy. What the heck's going on here?
I don't want Holy Tommy touching me.
We then go to Lori, who gives a phone that doesn't text to Susan and tells her she can help her come back because she came back.
Well, I like how she said, though, you're going to have to speak because this phone doesn't text.
Now, you think she
does that on purpose to kind of force them to speak, to talk?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or is she just being cheap?
It's obvious that she wants them to speak, so she's forcing them to speak.
I don't know if it's a scam yet, so.
Honestly, I think any phone can text, so. I don't think it was a rotary phone or what.
Maybe she has Worm Taffy's phone.
even Worm Taffy's phone, which is from 1996, I believe still texts.
It weighs 18 pounds.
Yeah. We then go into her apartment where there's a passed out Tommy, and he is watching a Holy Wayne beginning video on YouTube, which I thought was kind of cool.
Only 7 million hits, though. You'd think it'd be more.
That's true. I mean, 7 million, that's a lot. That's a good
deal. It's a lot of hits, but I think for something that special, and that
would have... Here's the thing. Like, not everybody follows Holy Wayne. It seems to be this, you know, smaller sect of
things. All right. Okay, plus, I can deal.
It's probably on there. There's probably a timestamp on there, but maybe what about it was just
Holy,
posted.
Holy Wayne doesn't just give hugs. He plays video games.
And then he's
at 40 or 50 million hits.
That's a good point. No, maybe... And also, didn't have a chance to really zoom in and see, but depending on the timestamp, you don't know how long the video's been up.
Oh, so. That's true. But I thought it was his first speech. I thought it was his first...
Yeah, but maybe it was like a found video. Like, they didn't post it, like, immediately. It was found. Like, somebody taped it.
Maybe Tommy posted it.
Maybe. Maybe. We then go to Tommy, who sleeps up, and found said if you find the next hive, she didn't find that too funny.
She's her people.
She says she found a place in Hackensack. Lori thinks that they will start to recognize him. But he says, they don't talk to each other. They don't talk at all. F Hackensack.
Yeah, it was funny.
Tommy asks if she misses the quiet as she says no.
But I did like how they were going back and forth, how Tommy was in quiet. It was quiet. And then you get to Lori, the drum solo, blah, 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 blah. And they're just going back and forth with it.
Yeah,
and we asked, "Do you miss the silence?" She says, "No," because every time even when she's in the car, her music is loud.
Yeah,
it's like she has to have the loud noise going on.
Mm-hmm. So it's similar to Kevin Garvey, right? Because he had to put the headphones on with the loud music,
right? But he was doing it to try and keep the people from that departed from talking to him, allegedly.
Well, is she trying to keep, you know, is she having her own demons that maybe we don't know about yet?
I think she just spent a year of not talking. And in silence around people that don't speak, and I think she needs the comfort is the noise.
Yeah,
she even types loud.
So then we go to Lori, who's writing a book, and Susan asks what it is. She speaks, and she says it's about us.
Oh, really?
Since
we just met, probably a short book.
Lori is bringing bagels to her group. And we meet the super. Seems like a real swell guy. And says she'll...
Victor's his name.
Oh, I know. She says she'll have rent on Friday.
He calls her Dr. Ruth, though.
Because isn't there a Dr. Ruth that's like a self-help person?
She's a sex therapist.
Yeah. So I think he's just being cheeky.
He is. He goes, you have a light. I don't smoke either. I don't like Victor. By the way, I don't like Victor.
I don't think anybody does. But Super says he'll need an extra $200 a night for the night poops.
The night poops. Because night poops way more than... Because, you know, you have the...
They wreak havoc on the plumbing.
Well, it's a accumulation of all day of what you've eaten. So I guess that's what it is.
Talking about your night poops.
Poops.
Talking about damn night poops.
Poops.
All right.
I see a song. You know, the younger Jay would have a song next week, Night Poops.
Night Poops. Come on.
Night Poops.
Sometimes they're not solid.
All right, moving on.
From the Night Poops.
She has another group session and some guilty remnants show up.
It's late. Now I'm going to have that song in my head. I'll be humming it tonight. And your mom's going to go, what are you singing?
Night poops.
Night poops.
It's Night Moon? Is that it, Bob Seger?
I thought it was Night Moves.
Night Moves. That's right. Night Moves.
Night Moves. I expect a song next week. Night Poops.
The guilty remnant show up to the meeting. They want their girl back. She's intimidated, but Laura doesn't take the crap. They start to write a note.
She gets in their face.
She does. Well, they start to write a note. She tears it up and asks them to leave.
She just crumbled it up, didn't she?
She crumbled it up and threw it on the floor.
Instead of saying, that was a mistake.
Susan stares at the crumpled note.
Yeah.
So we then go to Lori, who washes her car, while piano instrumental, not a drum instrumental, of Where Is My Mind plays, a song that was played on last week's episode, the regular version by the Pixies. And we go to Tommy, who tries to get into the Hackensack guilty remnants. And a girl writes on a note, the pain doesn't matter.
Your pain doesn't matter.
Exactly. We then go to Lori, who sees a mother and child. And Tommy sees a man is still holding onto his watch. Lori takes Susan to see her family. Susan talks about him counseling.
Her son Kyle is very happy to see her.
Yes.
See her. I'm seeing her.
Husband invited her back. She thinks he hates her. To which Lori convinces her. Or maybe doesn't convince her that he doesn't.
No. Well, he doesn't hate her.
Uh-huh. Tommy brings in Howard, watch guy.
Yeah.
And we then go to their apartment again. And on the TV, there's a man who's resurrected in Australia, David something. We probably don't know this off the top of our head, but going back to the first episode, I'm assuming maybe whatever that letter went to could possibly be that guy that resurrected himself in...
It could be.
Australia. Plus, we have Mr. Garvey Sr. going to Australia. Right. So, something's going on in Australia.
Is he there yet? Do we know if he's there? Because this was kind of a flashback type thing.
It's true. I assume he's not there yet, but who knows?
Because we don't know when this actually happened.
Well, we know it's before...
Before the move. Right before they go to Texas.
Correct. And this scene was before Jill met up with Tommy.
Right.
So she knows that Jill wants to meet Tommy and asks if she can drive him and if she can give Jill a note. He says she's not ready.
He starts out, she doesn't want to see you.
Yeah, she's not ready.
So now I felt bad because I last week we see Lori and she's driving the car and she doesn't want to. I'm assuming she doesn't want to see Jill and it's the other way around. So that's why I apologize to Lori.
It's going to be okay, Lori. It's
going to be okay. I don't think it is.
She's outside the diner, and she sees a spot on her windshield, and she washes away the spot in the windshield. Again, it's like, why is she trying to clean her car so much? Is it just a compulsive thing?
Well, what's I think because remember, they're all wearing white. Maybe it's they're constantly keeping their outfits clean or something like that?
Yeah. Can we find out later, but I guess it's just in my hands, like, why? What's the significance of cleaning the car?
Yeah, we know later on that it's probably a piece of human, but
she gets back to her office, but the super kicked them out and took her laptop.
Oh man, Victor.
But he refuses to admit he has it. So she breaks into his place and steals the laptop from the kid.
How did she know that Victor was gonna leave?
I assume I don't know. That's a good question. She's just staking it out. So when she saw he was leaving.
And he left, he goes, great. First time here, Victor's leaving. I can go in and steal the computer.
Yeah, sure. So she takes it and she runs out, drives away, plays loud music.
You skip the part though where she goes and has the meeting with Victor. And she goes,
I mean, I talked about it where he refused to admit he had it.
Well, but he says, if I gave you the file, that would admit I had it. And then she sees a picture. Is this your son? Wouldn't it be nice to go home and tell him you did something good for somebody? And he goes, I won't say it, but he said he's a jerk, basically.
So she sees GR walking by. She revs her engine and she runs into him after a stare down. And she washes her car again. So we can assume now this whole washing the car is because she runs over GR every night.
Right.
Which is shocking a little bit.
But there's no dents in her car. Do these people not... I know if you hit a deer, it's going to leave a serious dent. But these humans don't leave any dent at all?
Maybe if they're like jumping out of the way at the last second.
That didn't look like it. Looked like it was hit, roll, and flop. It's probably the safest people to hit in this, because nobody likes them. So who's going to report you? Right?
That's true, yeah.
Not that I'm justifying it, but I'm just saying it just in this world.
Well, we saw it last week with Kevin Garvey. He showed, he brought up Patty's body. And
right, exactly. And people didn't care. Cool, go ahead. Do what you got to do.
So she prints a manuscript for her book. And she has her acclimation session with Susan's husband.
Yes.
We then go to Tommy, who's working in a new, go through remnant place, but he goes after the wrong girl.
I knew this was, did you know this was coming up?
I thought it was going to happen in the previous one.
No, just because the way the girl was looking.
Yeah.
I said, Tommy, watch your eyes. Tommy. He got complacent. He thought, they were just, he didn't think they were, talking and what was going on. But, Tommy.
Yep. Tommy effed up.
Yeah, he did.
So they take him away, and randomly Meg shows up.
Yes.
Takes off his pants, and would you call that rape? I feel like that's he didn't want to have sex with her.
Well, it is. Because in the preview, the warning is just a PG, whatever. It said rape scene. I go, oh, no. Not a rape scene. I'm thinking, like Game of Thrones type rape scene. Not any rape is bad. But I'm,
yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I go... When I saw Meg and I saw him, I go, is she going to rape him? So yeah. It was rape.
Yeah, it was. So she rapes him. They douse him in gasoline and Meg starts to light her. And she motions to burn.
Oh, man, don't kill Tommy. I like Tommy. Don't kill Tommy.
And then she pulls back, lights her cigarette, and tells your mom, Meg says hello, and then drives away. So here's my, what's the point of raping him?
Got a theory for that, so...
Okay. Is that part of maybe your crackpot theory?
It is the crackpot theory, yes.
All right, so we'll save that for later. So Lori gets a new suit because a publisher called her back, and it seems as though Tommy has Stockholm Syndrome, and he's been hanging around the GR too long because he thinks they make sense.
Yeah, he said they're starting to make sense, and she's like, no, don't. This is what we've worked for.
But Lori says, this is working. Very appropriately, we... cut to Susan, who doesn't seem too happy.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
All right. What's the husband's name? Glenn?
Mm-hmm.
You got Kyle in the back seat. Why? Susan's been locked up. She's been with the guilty, the GRs, 2 months?
Yeah.
She's obviously been, she was probably at a depressing spot. To join that group, she had to be at her darkest level anyway before that. Why is she driving?
I mean, I agree.
When was the last time she was behind the wheel of a car?
Not that, but he just doesn't seem very supportive to her. Like he's
eating chips, and I think he's just happy to have his wife back, to someone to take care of his kid. And so I agree. I don't think he was that supportive of her coming back. It's like, okay, she's back. She can do what she's always done before. I'm just saying, I would not have had my wife in that situation driving.
I concur.
And I guess agree. In the end, I was right.
No, yeah, and it's kind of like there's many scenes where you see she's not herself,
right?
And she opens up that note. Yes. And what's the note say again? Is it like
says any day now?
Yeah, any day now. So she drives into the truck and assumably kills herself
now,
and her family.
Is any day now, are they saying any day now there's going to be another departure? People are going to depart again? So is that what they're all about, the guilty remnants? Or that,
no. I think they just say, well, they think that the world has already ended.
Right. So, but any day now, you're going to be departed. Is that what that note meant?
No.
That's what I thought.
I think it was more any day now. Like when are you going to come back?
Nah, I'm gonna say I was right.
What for? What that. That it, they think it's going to happen again.
Well, that's what, you know, a lot of people think. You got Nora thought that when they found out. Remember when Nora found it could happen again?
Yeah.
And she goes to Miracle, the place that nothing happens, because she's so worried that it's going to happen again. She doesn't want to lose, you know, Kevin and the rest and Jill and everybody again.
I get it. I do. And it's a good thought and discussion to have, but I think it's more any day now you're going to come back. And I think she maybe more felt she couldn't escape what that was or what the GR was. And that's what kind of led to her diving out the deep end.
I do like that they didn't show it. You just know it happened.
Yeah. And again, not to be cliche, but as a parent now, like that just breaks my heart, you know, that
the
family, you know, is dead.
Well, the dad cared more about his chips.
Yeah, his Funyuns.
Yeah. There are Funyuns.
Delicious. Lori is at a publisher's office. She gets a call about Susan. She wants to leave, but the publisher meets with her right she's ready to go.
Milosh.
What was it again? Elosh?
No, his name was Milosh in Seinfeld.
Couldn't
play tennis.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's in a lot of things. He's in a lot of shows, but I always remember him from Milosh on Seinfeld.
He says it's a great book, but it needs some more polish. Need to know more about their mythology. You know, all religion has like a thing they follow. Which says there isn't anything. It's just they believe the world ended. But why are they smoking cigarettes?
Yeah.
They never told me.
They never told me.
And wants to know her feelings. And kind of goes into like everything that happened.
Giving him the lighter and just.
Which again,
He says, I know that because you put it in the book.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, when he's saying the story, I was like, wow, that is a really powerful story. But even what he's saying in that, when we watched it last season, we didn't have the context of her emotions too much, so it wasn't as impactful. And he's telling the story, like, yeah, he's right. This actually is a really, you know, harrowing story.
Right.
But as a viewer, for me, I didn't feel that just because we didn't know her feelings. So I thought that was kind of cool.
You feel this episode, you did feel.
Exactly.
It did such a great job at doing that. And when he's going on and on and on, and you can just see her like going, she's getting ready to burst. I mean, I was shocked she got up and attacked him.
Yeah.
But it just, I think her, it just all came, it was therapy for her to write the book.
Yeah.
Of her experiences, but then she realizes what she did, and she has so much guilt, I think, for doing it. You know, leaving her daughter and her son and her husband. She left everything.
Yeah.
For this, you know, for this group. And anyway.
No, yeah. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. That's what's really...
He was just repeating what she wrote.
Yeah. But I think for her, it definitely... You know, when he asked to know her emotion or her feelings, it was too much for her. So she flips out and she, you know, starts choking him.
Which the two other people in the room couldn't break it up.
Yeah, there's kind
of was one. They may have been
more in shock, to be honest. They probably weren't expecting that to happen.
But eventually, you go, "Hey, we got to stop this. Hey, we're gonna book here, all right."
So she ends up in jail. Tommy bails her out.
With what money?
Yeah, I know.
No, you know what he did? He went in there and hugged everybody.
Could be.
Tommy hugs.
Tommy hugs. he's not going to go for the whole, you know, Messiah angle. He's just going to have a Twitter account and go by hashtag Tommy hugs.
Yeah.
Get your Tommy hugs over here.
Hashtag Tommy hugs.
So she talks about how she runs over the GRs. And he says, I know you're effed up, but your people need you right now. I got people freaking out. And she asks why we're losing. And Tommy says, it's because we strip it away, but we don't put anything in its place. So what do they have? They have nothing.
Right.
So they have a meeting. And, you know, Lori says, you know, I'm generally in psychiatry. You don't talk about yourself. But
we've got Susan called her out, said, you're angry.
Yeah.
And she's, me? I'm not angry.
Yeah. But she's right.
She was angry.
So Tommy tells his Holy Wayne story.
Right.
And we kind of knew all of that up to when we saw when he found the baby, Lily.
Right.
And we didn't really know what happened to that other than he dropped her off at the Garvey's house, his dad's house. And I guess technically his grandpa's house. Right. And, you know, he didn't know what to do and he asked for help. And Holy Wayne showed up out of nowhere. And gave him the power, and he says he's going to die, and he offers everyone a hug, because he has the powers now, too, but it comes with a price. He didn't really talk about what the price was, I feel like. And that's how the episode closed out.
To take your soul, maybe? Take your... Because remember, it was the politician the first season. Remember he went there and got hugs?
Yep.
And it was a whole secretive thing where to go to get hugs because they didn't want the government finding out.
Well, because the government wanted to get him because he, you know, had like, you know, concubines and all this stuff.
Right, but I think it had more to do with the hugs than the other stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure that was it.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I'm sure. So closes.
It's the magic hugs. I think that people don't want.
So here's, and again, I know you talked there about earlier that they were conning people for money. I don't think so, but this...
No. I thought that at first.
At first, and now we don't, right? But here's my thing. Did he make up this whole thing with the hugs? Because they just said before they needed something to give them. So did he make this up so that they can have...
You think he really doesn't have the magic of the touch of the hugs?
I don't, because they never showed us this scene between Holy Wayne and Tommy.
Because he doesn't seem very happy.
No, I mean, he doesn't.
When Tommy went to join the GRs that one scene, he either was great actor or he looked like he was lost and he's drinking a lot.
And again, it could have been him, you know, contemplating what Holy Wayne gave to him and all that kind of stuff. But I really, for me, it feels like he made this up because in the conversation before, he said we have to give them something, you know, to replace.
I didn't even think about that. It's a good theory.
So that was just my thoughts. I hope it doesn't turn out that way. But again, it'll be weird if he does have Holy Wayne's powers to see how that works. But
well, that would just be lying. I mean, if you lie to these people, that you're going to lose them forever. You can't lie to them.
I know. I
mean, how are you going to save them?
But if you keep the lie long enough, because you start an entirely new religion, I mean,
they just join another cult.
They just create their own cult.
Yeah, I guess.
But who knows?
I think their goal is to get these people out of the cult and back on their own feet.
I'd hope so.
Living life again, because Lori realized that what she did was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
And that's why she wrote the book, and that's why she strangled what's his name?
Yeah. So another really good episode. This season has been fantastic.
Yeah, it's great writing, great acting. I like the way they've tightened it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all over the place, kind of like first season was. Even though I enjoyed the first season. It's just focusing on some main characters, and it's almost like Flash Forward when Flash Forward came back from that break. They started focusing on the characters and making us care about them. So anyway, I'm really enjoying it.
But the story is really tight too. Like everything, it's just a really cohesive. Well,
you're on the edge
story.
Of your seat. You're because there's some storylines last year where I'd go, I don't care about these guys so much, but. I mean, it wasn't like I said. Some people hated it. I never hated it. There's just some scenes I go, oh, okay, let's get to this part. I like this part better when they're talking about this. But yeah, all three episodes have been home runs as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So that is what we thought. Now it's time to get to what you guys thought for listener feedback. We do have an email here from Michael, and let me get into it now. Hi, Jay and Jack. Great to have you guys back for season 2. The show would be the same for me without the podcast. Now on to Holy Tommy.
Holy Tommy.
I went back and forth between believing and not believing. Oh, so it seems maybe he's on the same side. As of right now, I'm a believer. And here are many recent reasons. I believe that Tommy hugged his mom at the end of season 1. And this is why we have the current version of Lori.
Ah.
Tommy also chose not to hug Jill, claiming to be sick, and went to claim that nobody is okay. Interesting. That's right. He chose not to hug her.
That's great.
Because he wasn't sick, right? Because we saw.
Yeah.
He wasn't sick up to that point.
I even asked last week, was he sick in real life, or is he just pretending to be sick?
Yeah. So how would Tommy know this? Well, in a YouTube clip of Wayne, he claimed to be able to feel people's pain. So if Tommy has Wayne's gift, we can only assume that so can he.
Right.
Good point. That could be what price it comes at. Then comes Tommy's story. The most convincing part for me was when he claimed Wayne told him he was going to die tomorrow. Again, how could Tommy know that? It seemed that whoever was behind the attempt to kill Wayne tried to do it in secret. Even the police officer, when talking to Kevin and asked who he was, said just some whack job who thought he was God. that thing where he says, I think I'm working from memory here. That sounds about right.
Right.
And as right now, I haven't seen any news coverage of his death. And lastly, something that just came to me, Wayne giving his gift to Tommy before he died is very similar to Jacob/Jack/Hurley, making someone like you before your death. Maybe something, maybe nothing. Anyways, sorry for the long email.
No, that's a perfect email. Michael. I like that a lot.
Yeah, very good theory. You convinced me.
Because I just saw his face, so I became a believer. But no, I like it.
Good. All right, we also have a voicemail, so let's get into that right now.
All right.
Hi, Jay and Jack. This is Jared from Missouri, giving you a call with a couple of observations. First off, David Burton is the man that we're told is the guy that walked out of the cave resurrected, or what, however that story was. That's also the name on the letter that Moses from Miracle wanted to send. A theory that we have is that we think that the reason that Lori seems to be a lot better is Tom probably hugged her pain away. And that's going to do it for this week. I'm going to go and see if I can get punished by the GR. Thanks, Jay and Jack. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Jay, for the call.
So that was the guy.
David Burton. There we go.
David Burton.
But so, go ahead.
I like the Tommy hug thing. That's what helped Lori. But
she still had anger.
She still has anger. So the hugs, she needs another hug or something. She's still mad. And why wouldn't you hug? If Jill's hurting, why not hug? There's got to be something. There's something to the hugs. It does something, because because Jill is hurting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, her mom is 30 feet away from her, and she didn't read her note. She's hurting, but Tommy, there's something about the hugs that must have some kind of effect though on him.
Well, that, and remember, Nora got the hug as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And it kind of changed her outlook on things.
Yeah.
And
then getting punished by the GRs. I like it. Pretty good. I got what you meant there.
Anywho, so any other things that you want to talk about, Jack, in the feedback before we get into your crackpot theory of the week?
No, I think I'm pretty good here. I think some great email and great call.
Yeah, and if you want to give out more, you can at 385-309-0303. That's 385-309-0311, Colony Time, or you can email at lostpodcast@gmail.com.
If you're one of those people that tried for years to get your phone call or email on the podcast, on the Lost one, now's a great time to do it if you wanted to get it on the Leftovers podcast.
Yeah.
There might be room.
Plenty of room. Some would say all the room you need.
Exactly. You know what?
Some would say nobody's going to turn you away, I promise.
First three emails, Jay's going to give you a hug. I don't know if it's a magic hug, but Jay will give you a hug.
Yes. So let's get into your crackpot theory of the week. Here we go.
All right. Okay, so we see Meg comes in and she has her way with Tommy.
Yep.
Right? Then she pours gasoline on him.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, oh, she's... I think the gasoline was more to maybe like punish him because maybe her guilt of the whole thing. But I think we're going to find out that Meg is eventually be carrying Tom's baby. And it's because they know he has the magic hug thing going on or something. And that's why they want the baby.
Yeah, I could see that.
Meg's going to be pregnant. We're going to find out Meg's going to be pregnant.
That's pretty presumptive that I mean, I guess you could know that that's her day of ovulation, but that'd be kind of random that
it's just they
all that works out.
They've probably known about Tommy for a long time.
Oh, and they're waiting for the right time.
They're just probably waiting for the right time. The moons were aligned right, and just seems, because what is the point of that scene?
Yeah.
What is the point of that scene? It's like, you know, people said for Game of Thrones, what was the point of that scene? There is no point of that scene unless it leads to something like that. There's nothing. What's the point?
Maybe it's just to show, you know, how much power she has over him.
No, I think throwing him out naked, and, you know, his pants out and pouring gasoline on him is a lot more powerful than what she was doing.
What's more powerful than, or showing power over somebody than,
I think,
know,
more than
sexually
fear,
assaulting
cause,
him?
Because at that point, he was like, it was like, okay, I might live through this. This is the worst thing that's going to happen to me. But having gasoline poured on me, and at that point, I mean, I don't know. It could be that was what it was about, but I think I'm looking more deeper into it. I think that she's going to. I'm always big about the pregnant person theory.
It's always your angle.
It's always my angle because I just think that's what happens. So
that's it's that easy.
Well,
to get pregnant.
She didn't practice safe sex there, right?
I don't think so.
Am I right? I didn't see. There was no time, so I didn't see it. So, which is nice. I don't have to.
But
see
it was like a Dale length session. So I mean, I just,
it was a warm taffy session.
But I don't. It's just it, to me. Again, I totally get it. In the world of Hollywood, you get pregnant like that easy. Yeah. But it's just it's not that simple. But yeah. Again, I guess to support the theory is that they've been following for a while.
Yeah, they knew he was. They were just waiting. They were just waiting for him to make his move.
Because she also knew that Tommy was Meg's.
Exactly. She
or
knew.
Meg knew Tommy was
right.
Lori's son. So yeah, no, it's an interesting theory for sure.
Oh,
definitely
just,
worthy of the. It's worthy of the crackpot title.
Just and then, you know, it came. I woke up and it came to me. I went, oh, that's what it was about. Okay. I'm good. Yeah. I didn't have one up until I woke up this morning.
Woke up.
Got out of bed. And didn't drag a comb across my head.
You still could. Maybe that could stimulate growth. You never know.
No, it doesn't happen.
Oh, man. All right.
I'm ready for some night poop.
Talking about
night poop. Night poop.
Talking about them long night poops.
Sometimes they're too long. Anyway.
All right, guys, before we get into any more of this shenanigans, we will call it a night for The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. We'll see you guys next week at our normally broadcasted time on Monday nights.
We'll get those out right away.
Again, apologize for that, but, you know, it's got to make a living. Somebody's got to work around here.
Sometimes life gets in the way.
You know, somebody's got to, you know, do work, so
yeah.
I guess it's just got to be me.
It's
out here roughing it. Out here roughing it in Nashville. At the end of each episode, we're going to send a special thanks to our patrons that contribute at a great level that gives a lot to what we're trying to do here. So a special thanks to Tack from Tokyo, Eric Richter, and Chris O'Brien. Big thanks to you guys.
Eckhart, I've changed his name to Eckhart Richter Gladfelter.
Oh, okay.
Why? I finally adopted him because I don't know if we're saying his name correctly, and so I know I'm
Richter,
saying Gladfelter.
Richter.
I think we are, but just to cover it, if I adopted him, I know I can say his name correctly, my last name.
But thank you very much, and thank you to all of our patrons, all 82 of you. And you can see a list of your names on our website at jayandjack.com and a lot of other information about all of our podcasts. You can subscribe to every single one specifically. Like if you like this Leftovers podcast, you can subscribe just to the Leftovers podcast by searching on iTunes or find the links on our page at jayandjack.com. As well as other shows like Survivor with Jay, Jack, Colleen, Amazing Race with Jack and Cindy, The Married Man Show, Ramblecast.
It's back.
Ramblecast. What else we got?
Lost Podcast. Game of Thrones podcast will be back. The Vinyl Podcast with Jay, Jack, and Nick.
Nick texted you, right?
Did he text me?
Yeah, Nick.
No,
about
I don't
doing
think
a Vinyl Podcast.
Me. I don't think he texted me, did he?
Well, because you've been, you know, pimping this idea of doing a Spinal Podcast, which I don't want to do because I haven't even seen it.
I'm telling you, it's going to be gold. No, there's no, I have no text.
The best, there. Jerry. The best. Well, he texted me. He's like, hey, if you know, if you want to do the Spinal Podcast, I definitely, you know, I heard J just say that, you know, you guys are talking about doing a vinyl podcast, and if you need somebody to, you know, be on it, let me know. And then he started describing what he could bring to it, and he started talking about how, you know, like each episode we could review, you know, a new album, a vintage album, and then, you know, we can, you know, talk about...
Hold on, he's going way too crazy.
Well, it just goes... He thought it actually like a record podcast, like an actual...
Oh, he didn't know there's a TV
talking
show?
Talking about vinyl records, no.
Because I was the whole thing, he was criticizing me talking about Boston, the rock group Boston, and so I took a clip from Hee Haw. Where, oh, where were we last night? And posted that. I said, which one is Nick?
Aww.
Thinking it. So, because, you know, he's from Tennessee.
I'm in Tennessee right now.
You are Tennessee. And I'm right? You said there's a whole... I watch Nashville, the TV show, every now and then with my wife.
Well, Nashville is filmed here. Like, I've walked by all the different locations.
There you go. There you go. You saved the cheerleader when you were there?
I don't think they're filming right now.
Oh, okay.
But when we did our redneck bus tour yesterday... They talked about how you can see them filming all over the place. Because they film it all in Nashville.
Well, there you go. Nashville. Anyway, so he thought it was... I thought it was pretty simple to know that it was a TV show.
Well, he got his information from Jessica, so...
Oh, and she's probably stuck with a cheese head too tight, so...
I don't want to see a cheese head for a while. Stupid peckers. anywho... feel free to give us a call at 385-309-0311. Call anytime. And also an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com and join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JHackGroup. Become a patron at patreon.com/JHackPatreon.com. Become a patron today and support all of our shows. And we thank you very much for all that already do. All right, we'll see you next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.